I'll just start with asking, what is your full name?
Okay. My name is Edwin Peterson, Smit Peterson, S-M-I-D-T, for my grandfather.
And were you born?
I was born in Bone Lake. It's a township just east of here, because my parents lived there on a farm when they first married.
Yeah.
But by the time I was, then my grandfather on the farm here died in that next February, and so my parents moved back to town and helped farm. And I come from a long line of Petersons. Soren Peterson, then Gumla Smee, he was called, was a blacksmith, the first blacksmith in Luck. He came in 1871 and had a blacksmith shop just, well, within a stone, two stone throws from here. So I live that close to here. And this is the last little bit of farm. The rest is sold. The lot the house is on was a part of the old farm. And his son, Andrew, or Anders, farmed here.
Really?
And,
there's still farms out there.
Yes.
Fields.
The fields, yeah. And he probably helped in the blacksmith shop when he was a younger person. And then finally my great-grandfather retired and moved down on the farm. And we have a picture of showing the whole family, him, his son, and wife, and then my father as a little boy. And then the old farm buildings.
I don't know if this fits in or not, but just in the last month, our daughter purchased the farm house, which is just has 2.5 acres. So that'll be the seventh generation in that place.
That's quite something.
That is something.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, seven generations.
Yeah.
The two little boys that we live there will be using the rooms I used to have. I went to school then here in Luck.
May I just your parents, their names?
My father's name was Einar. Einar Peterson.
Einar,
yeah.
E-I-N-A-R. Yeah, Einar. Uh-huh. Einar Peterson.
Yeah.
And where was he born?
What?
Where was he born?
He was born on the farm.
Yeah.
And his father was born in Denmark. He was about 2 years old when he came.
Okay.
So.
Are you aware where he came from? Where in Denmark he came from?
Yes, they came from Ekve. Ekve is a small town.
Ekve, yeah.
Central Jutland.
Yeah.
And he was a blacksmith there, but decided to come to this country with his wife and two children.
Two small
children. The daughter married when she was maybe 18 or 20 here, but then died within a couple of years. So we don't have any relatives from her. Okay. But my grandfather, they had many children, some who died, but there were eight who grew to adulthood. Mm-hmm. So we have quite a few of cousins.
Sure. That was your granddad who was born in Denmark. Your grandmother?
Yes, my granddad was born. And my grandmother on my father's side was also born in Denmark. And that was a handsome family. Niels Hansen. And he was quite a cabinet maker, and I don't know if he was trained as a cabinet maker, but anyway, he designed the first church in West Denmark. So,
do you know where he came from in Denmark?
Not for sure, I don't. I should. If I looked it up, I'd know it. No, I don't.
Well, never mind. Grandparents his, on your mother's side.
His wife, Maren, goes all, her family we can trace all the way back to the 1400s. Oh. And back then, the man did something for the king or the ruler that was very important. And so he said, from then on, that family will not have to pay taxes. But I think that's been forgotten.
I think probably.
We have to pay taxes.
You sure do.
Let's see.
On your mother's side, have you any idea where the family came from in Denmark? Mother's side.
On my mother's side, my grandfather and grandmother both were born within a mile of each other in Farvo, Denmark. It's a suburb, or you might, well, it's hardly a town, but it's next to Christenfeld.
Okay.
And when Jess was about 10 years old, then the Germans took that part of Denmark. So he was actually became a German citizen, which he couldn't stand that. The family name was Schmidt, and he took off the CH so that it would just be Schmidt. He never wrote much about the German occupation, but during that time, the church became German, schools, and from other writing, I understand that the children fought against this idea that they were German and did everything they could to. Mm-hmm. And there were five brothers, two of them came to this country quite early, and a third one came when my grandfather did. And they came because they did not want to serve in the German army. Because about that time, the Germans decreed that all the 20 years old had to serve in their army. Mm-hmm. My grandfather was excused because, as it says, he was too small and weak. Okay. Mm-hmm. He lived to be 87 and made church furniture until almost the last year that he lived. So he might have been small and weak, but he certainly
strong enough.
He could carve.
Yeah.
And my grandmother, let's see. Her maiden name was Robin.
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 Okay.
And what more to say about that? My grandfather went to a folk school, Vinding High School.
Okay.
And then about that year he decided to come to this country.
After being at the school.
After being the folk school.
Okay.
Vinding folk school. And I have his notebooks yet from that school.
You do?
And they really had quite a thorough education in mathematics. And I have one book where he's supposed to write short stories and things to be corrected.
Mm-hmm.
And And I'm fortunate that I can read Danish.
You do?
Yes. Yeah. So I've done a lot of, and the work I'm doing now is to write a biography of him. And most of the work of the writing is done. It's a matter of fitting the pictures of his carving and family in and make a booklet out of it.
So,
and I have a nephew who's very very good at that kind of thing.
Okay.
So it'll get happened.
So that'll be published in a
yeah
mm-hmm. short time.
Yeah,
that sounds very good.
I have difficulty getting going on stuff. I've often wondered what people do when they retire. I found out they don't do anything.
I hear is the pensioners that are so busy all the time.
I think
they say
we
that
have
in Denmark.
Yes, he has been very busy, but health issues.
Yeah, I had a quadruple bypass, and since then, I don't know if being under ether or if that does something to your, slows you up. I think it does.
Maybe.
So
there's a little book, and you can see it over at church. I know they've got the Den Gamle Smee.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was written by a pastor, Helvig.
Yeah.
And that's about his grandfather.
Who was here. He was here as a young boy when his father was the president of the seminary.
Mm-hmm.
And then he came back again as a young man, as a young minister.
Okay.
And he thought a great deal of Den Gamle Smee.
Mm-hmm.
And so he wrote a biography in Danish. And I translated that several years ago and had it printed. And I've written a history of luck called A Little Bit of Luck.
Mm-hmm.
And I've written a history of the church, quite a thorough history of the church. So I did a lot of writing. I can't get at it again.
You cannot?
No. Well, I hope to. Well, this is before.
Okay.
I was done before that.
Yeah.
So
what was your schooling like? Where did you
go to school? I went to Lux High School and graduated in 1942.
But you went to before that primary school?
Over here too.
Yeah, that was the same school.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And back then our church had summer school, fairy school.
Yeah.
About 4-6 weeks where we learned, well, of course, the Bible, but also a great deal of read Danish, learned Danish. So I
Danish language.
Yeah, from that, my parents always spoke Danish, and when I started to go to school, I couldn't speak English. So, but I learned fast. Now,
what else did they teach you at the fair school?
Well, they always sang.
Yeah.
We sang songs. My goodness, we sang. We sang to begin with at the morning and at noon and afternoon and then before we went home at night.
Gymnastics.
And
that
we had gymnastics.
There would be songs in Danish.
Danish and song. Tordenskjold.
Yeah.
And we boys wanted to sing that every time. Until finally the teacher said we could sing it once a day. That was
okay.
All. And we wouldn't just sing it, we almost hollered it.
Yeah.
And I can still know many of the verses in Danish.
You can?
Yeah.
Give us a taste.
Tordenskjold i søens spang, kuglene omkring ham sang, gennem bjørge, deep occult swimmer Torden, Tapper Torden Skull.
Okay, good.
That's about the 11th verse, I think.
Mm-hmm. But do you speak Danish a little bit still?
No, I can. When I've been in Denmark about a week, it comes back. But it's hard to get. It's hard to get the words to come in the right order.
Probably, hvis jeg spørger dig på dansk om nogle forskellige ting, så går det nok. Hvis jeg taler dansk, men okay, you speak it in a.
I can understand.
Good. Your schooling, you went to
yes,
the high school.
Yes, the high school here, and then that was during the war, and so I had a couple of deferments, and then decided I was tired of farming or wanted to get in, and so I volunteered for the draft, and then. Okay. I spent 2.5 years sailing in the Pacific, convoying ships between the islands.
That was dangerous. What? That was a dangerous job.
Well, yes, it was.
I read about that.
I think we had just one submarine contact that I know of. Mm-hmm. We went from one island to the other, mm-hmm. convoying ships. Mm-hmm. And came back, and then I went to Grandview for 2 years.
Okay.
And then went to McAllister College and graduated from McAllister in 1950. Mm-hmm. The same year, and we were married then at fall.
Oh, okay. So, where did you meet your wife?
What?
Where did you meet your wife?
Okay. We grew up within a mile of each other. But we met in Minneapolis.
Hadn't known each other.
Well, he was 7 years older.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So we didn't, you know. Yeah, I was a little kid, and he was too old.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I was in the Navy, she was probably in the eighth grade.
Yeah.
So I knew the family, but
And I knew the family too from way back. And I knew there was such a person around, but I didn't think much about it. And we met, there's a young people's home in Minneapolis, mm-hmm. where young people from the different churches, Osco, Tyler, Withy, West Denmark, could go when they went to work in cities. It's a very nice place. And so we both wound up there and got to know each other.
That's a place where you could stay?
Boarding house.
Yeah?
Yes.
Where you could have your meal?
We had
it was a big old house. It had many, many bedrooms.
Who organized that house?
The Young People's Society.
An offspring of the church.
The churches owned it.
Okay.
But there was a matron.
Yeah, yeah, but it was organized by the church, you can say. Good that we got that.
And
hi,
that.
And that.
They finally sold it, and it's too bad they did. I think, but it got to be maybe not used the way it should have been, mm-hmm. so they sold it.
Was that your daughter?
Yeah. Okay. The artistic one.
Okay.
Yeah. We are celebrating this month our 60th anniversary.
Okay.
From 1950 to 19 to 2010. So that's quite a few years.
7 years.
You've gotten along pretty good.
Yeah, det lyder. You have a good marriage together.
Yes, we have. We have a good marriage.
You sense that.
Yeah.
When you graduated from McAllister, you graduated.
Yeah.
What happened after that? You got married the same year.
Right, the first year I didn't get a job teaching, so I worked for a feed company in Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. The next year I went to had a job down in southern Minnesota. And then I moved up here in 1952. I started teaching in Frederick, mm-hmm. and graduated in 1985, or retired.
Yes. 85. Okay. Yeah. 85. Okay.
So I've been, how many years? It's 25 years okay. since. So I've just been retired just about as many years as I've taught.
No, yeah, not that's quite. A strange thought. What? That's a kind of strange thought, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
But you were up there. That was not in the Danish community at
no.
all.
No. If anything, it was Swedish.
Okay. But you lived up there.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So you sort of you went to a church up there and so on.
No, we went to church here.
So you went down here on Sunday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you were up there. Yeah. So you had contact with the yeah. community here.
Mm-hmm. And our kids went to Sunday school and were confirmed here.
Yeah. Oh yes, your children. How many kids do you have?
We have four. Okay. Two girls and two boys.
Mm-hmm. And where do they live?
Two of them live within a mile of us. Mm-hmm. Anne, just out on Anne, and Paul, just south of here a little bit, mm-hmm. about a mile. Mm-hmm. And one, close to Menominee, Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
And then a boy down in Illinois.
Yeah.
Paul, the youngest, is a forester.
Okay.
And
have they married within the Danish community, or are they sort of?
No, they're not. No.
No.
No. David was.
I wouldn't expect it either.
David was married to a girl from Danish that he met in a camp in Tyler, but it didn't last.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't. Mm-hmm. But there are two boys from that marriage, and they live in the cities.
Mm-hmm. What kind of traditions did you have in West Denmark during the years, now that you, okay, you were living up in Frederick, you had still knowledge of what was happening here?
To go back, we had, as I said, a feria school.
Mm-hmm.
And that is when I was that age, it was about 6 weeks of it from the next Monday after public school. Mm-hmm. Until 4th of July.
Okay.
And then and I guess we talked about what we did then.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of singing and
yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's a biggest part of West Denmark. It's mm-hmm. been a singing congregation that by habit, at least until recent years, when there's a speaker, we always sang a song first and finished up with a song,
mm-hmm.
and then had coffee and lunch. So it was always bring for lunch.
Yeah.
And during those years, a great number of people from all over, from Denmark, would come and give a speech. Lecture,
Foredrag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And from different congregations that come from the college, in Des Moines. So that was a part, and that we don't have now. Oh. Although we still have a 4th of July celebration, and.
We're talking about the Danish tradition.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The 5th of June. Is that it?
We used to have the 5th of June.
Yes.
I can remember mm-hmm. when I was young, mm-hmm. There's always 5th of June.
Yeah.
But that's lost.
Mm-hmm.
But we have the 4th of July celebration. Not too many churches have that.
Oh.
I don't think... it's not a church thing, but our church does celebrate the 4th of July. Okay. And it comes, and something new that's not a part of the old tradition is our summer camp.
Yeah.
Do you want more coffee?
Yes, please, but I'll help us out. That's fine. Would you care for more?
No, thanks. Well, yeah, just a little bit. Just to wet my whistle.
Yeah.
That's good.
Okay, fine.
Let's see, where were we?
You said you had this, you have summer camps.
Yes. We have 3-day family camp. Mm-hmm. When we have, everything that they have at a folk meeting or folk school. A lot of singing,
yeah.
Gymnastics.
Okay.
No, not so much gymnastics anymore, but folk dancing for the kids and for adults too. Mm-hmm. Always a lecture.
Yeah.
And always a lot of coffee to visit with. Mm-hmm. A craft.
Mm-hmm. Like what?
Oh, like anything from weaving, mm-hmm, to sewing, mm-hmm, painting,
okay,
all kinds of. So, carving.
Yes. Who comes to this camp?
The last summer we had 170 registered. Mm-hmm. Now that doesn't mean they all come at the same time, mm-hmm, but from one thing to another.
But during the 3 days, you had 170.
Yeah, during the 3 days.
Quite a number.
170 people registered. Mm-hmm. We have a noon meal, an evening meal, noon meal.
Where does it take place?
It takes place in our church, and we have the parish hall.
You can house so many people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay,
but they don't, they stay in different homes or in the hotel.
Okay, but they're partly from the town.
But
there would be quite a number from here, from the town.
No, not really.
No?
Mostly, we don't have so many. I would guess maybe a third of the ones who register are from the congregation. Okay. And the others are from Minneapolis, and a lot of people from Minneapolis come up.
Okay.
So
it would be all kinds of people who,
yes,
come. It's not necessarily people with a Danish background.
No. Most, by the time they leave, they are.
Fine.
No, they aren't necessarily Danish. Mm-hmm. But many of them are.
Yeah.
From the ones from Minneapolis are Danish.
So they're trying to, the organizers, they try to reach out sort of very broad.
Yes.
And get people who are just interested in this kind of,
yes,
thing.
And as I said, a lot of singing and visiting.
I think that's very interesting, because you would kind of expect it would be a community thing that is sort of people who have been there already, but this is reaching out to much broader.
From all over.
Mm-hmm. Good. So these traditions you have been telling me about.
We have Fastelavn.
Yeah.
Oh.
And of course, Christmas you have.
And Christmas.
You have Danish traditions around Christmas.
Yes.
Or what?
Dancing around the Christmas tree and stuff.
Yeah.
And the kids put on a program, mm-hmm, and then get a bag of candy. And Well, we have Hearst Fest.
Mm-hmm. You have?
Harvest Festival.
Yeah.
And that comes up in the first Sunday in August. I know, in October.
Okay.
So it's coming.
Is that something that grows out of the Danish tradition? Or...
It's from the Danish tradition. It mm-hmm. used to be called Hearst Fest. Yeah. And now it's just
hard. But with the Swedes and Norwegians around, wouldn't they have something equivalent?
I don't know if they do or not.
No, I don't know.
There may be other churches that have some kind of a harvest festival.
But when you mentioned the word Hearst Fest, that's because you've been having it
way back it came.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fine.
As far back as I can remember,
good.
And even before that.
What kind of fest is it? What kind of celebration is it?
Decoration of garden things, and then a meal.
A meal together.
Yeah.
And singing and.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
And a lecture of some kind.
Maybe a folk dancing at the end.
It used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to have a social dance mm-hmm. after mostly 4th of July. And But we don't have that anymore.
No.
Let's see, there's one of...
Maybe you would have a little... At the end of the fest or celebration, you would have a little glass of wine or beer.
No.
You didn't?
No.
You wouldn't?
No.
That doesn't belong to the...
They could have wine at weddings.
If
they had a wedding celebration, they could have wine.
Yeah. But that's all.
Because, you know, in Tyler,
they
once in a while will end the day... And the evening, with a small glass of beer or a glass of wine.
But you go downtown for that, don't you?
Oh, yes.
But not on the premises?
No, that's, but you know it takes place.
We've been part of it.
I guess you have.
Yeah.
And it's very amusing.
Oh,
but, yes,
fun.
It is. Yeah, it's fun. But because they're very open with it about it. There's no secret to anyone that. But and I think it's a kind of an idea that that's no problem. We don't sit to get drunk or anything.
Oh.
It's just that we are in a good mood and having a good time together.
Yeah.
But
so
that would not happen with the Holy Danes.
No, that's what I'm.
No.
So that would, but you haven't had that tradition here that you can after some kind of celebration you sit down like that's fine.
Now, and for many many years we've had Ebbelskjøre,
mm-hmm.
A supper,
mm-hmm. At some kind of
in the spring
celebration.
It's it started out as the put on a play,
mm-hmm.
and then have Ebbelskjøre, and it's mostly just the congregation. It's gotten
mm-hmm.
to be now, so invite everybody, and of course it's kind of a money-making thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
All these traditions that you have been
mm-hmm.
talking about,
yeah.
they come from, obviously, from a tradition that dates back to Denmark.
Yeah.
Goes back to Denmark.
Yeah. Now, Ebbelskjøre wasn't, that's not new, it's maybe 50 years old,
mm-hmm.
the tradition of Ebbelskjøre year,
mm-hmm.
because I don't remember that when I was just a boy that we had it.
No.
Let's see, what else? As I was say, when I was a boy, there was Femte Juni,
mm-hmm.
and 4th of July,
yeah.
and Bernefest.
What was that?
Bernefest was the last day of, the Sunday after Ferias Vacation Bible School.
Oh, okay.
So, Bernefest.
Yeah.
And we got an ice cream cone. And,
yeah, yeah.
And there used to be a pop stand.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of those things are gone. And the school isn't used much anymore, just during our family camp.
Mm-hmm. The school over there?
No, it's a school in the woods over here. It's another separate building in our
okay. Mm-hmm.
down behind the gym hall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, would there be any, apart from the church, which is a new church because the old one burned, would there be buildings left from the sort of the time you...
Before that?
Yeah.
Yes.
When you...
Parish Hall.
Yes.
The Grimstick House Hall.
Yeah? Do you have that still?
Yeah.
From the...
And that's used much. That
dates back to...
It was built in 1915 by the young people for gymnastics.
Yes.
And put on plays and lectures.
That's your for Samling Shoes?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is that downtown?
It's over there in the
West Denmark.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was there when
so
you
we'll
were
see
here
it.
Last?
So we'll see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was there when you were there.
Yeah, yeah.
You didn't see it?
I don't recall it.
You told them the Dane School is there.
Yeah, the Dane School down behind.
Yeah. This, all these traditions, they come out of a specific Danish movement, a tradition.
Yeah.
That is in Denmark called Grundtvigian.
Yeah, it is.
Do you identify with that? You obviously live with the tradition, but are you sort of aware of more specific ideas in the
almost
tradition?
The introduction to what I've written there says that.
I think. Yeah.
You can read that for just a minute.
So actually, what I'm asking, you have written down.
Yeah,
I think
well, in
we've
a
got
way.
To that point because you know that's where I would, that's where I reach to when I've been talking to other people.
Yeah,
and they I would of course try to ask them about these questions.
Yeah,
but as you've written it down, it will be fine.
Yeah, it just
unless you have, things to. To add to this?
Well, there is, because as I say, we in West Denmark are heirs of a movement, a philosophy of life, a lifestyle that is only now becoming appreciated by many non-Danes throughout the world, from Java to Germany, from Russia to Door County. People all over the world are studying what happened to Denmark. What others are now discovering, we have had, but are now losing it because, one, we think is no longer relevant or are too busy. We are ashamed of it. We have forgotten or really never knew what the true essence of Grundtvigian philosophy is. Though we lived it, we never really put it into words. It seems that at a time when we're losing it, others are finding it, as witnessed by the books, the international conferences, and the expansion of folk schools in this and other countries not Danish. Our annual family camp is our attempt for a couple of days each summer to capture the essence of a folk school with singing, lectures, folk dancing, skits, crafts, and just plain visiting and enjoying each other's company.
Very good.
We have, as I say, we never talked that it was Grundtvigian.
Mm-hmm.
We just did it.
Well, but when you do talk about this Grundtvigian philosophy, I always worry that outsiders will think it's a cult of some kind. If that's the, I don't know if that's the right word.
I think you're right.
Because they don't know.
It is so difficult to explain, unless you explain that the things you do, like folk dancing, and still they would say, "Well, okay, that's." They wouldn't quite understand what it's all about.
It's so foreign to some people.
I heard that several times down at Tyler when I spoke with people about this issue. They said that, well, when I go back home and or before I go to Tyler, I tell my neighbors that I'm going to Tyler, and they'll ask, "What is that?" And I'll explain, and they'll look at me and say, "Well, we don't quite."
Yeah.
Get it, but okay, if you want, if it's good for you, then that's good.
That's right. And when you talk about our, we talked about going to our camps, or summer camps down Tyler or something, they couldn't figure out that we'd do that just to go and sing there, sing a bunch of songs and stuff. That didn't seem like a vacation.
So that's where it is.
Yeah.
You live it, and
yeah.
you who belong to the group, so to speak, you know what it's all about, and you enjoy it, and it really gives you something. But for outsiders, it's...
We have members in our church that will not take part. They will not come to our family camp.
Yeah.
Why not?
They just won't. We cannot...
Is that... Because they think it's something.
No, they just.
They don't want anything to do with it.
They stick to maybe they stick to the church activity only.
Oh,
this is,
exactly.
This is sort of cultural thing, which they.
They don't want.
They want to mix it.
Yeah. But we
have.
Catholics.
I would guess up to. 8 or 10 Catholics who
come to our family
and bring their kids.
They love it.
Yeah.
So, don't know.
But when you have Catholics present, like this is present or recent years, isn't it? Do they get into asking what is the ideas behind this whole thing, or do you have that kind of questions? What is
I don't know somebody asked one family why they came to this. They said, we like the people.
Yeah. The spirit.
Well, they like the people in West Emerald.
Yeah.
So they come and still they go to church in Catholic church, but they enjoy what we do. From our suppers.
They come to all our fellowship things, these people.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine, that's good.
And
that's
there
fine.
Must be...
Yeah.
Well, goodness, there must be 8, 10 of them. And then, of course, there are some who are atheists, all self, and who come because they enjoy the singing and what have you.
And we accept all of them.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Because we have quite a few who are non-believers. But they still come to church.
Well, they come to the fellowship.
Yeah. But they
They're members.
They like the choir.
And they come for the choir. Yeah.
Well, they probably also come for the sermon.
Probably not.
Well, I don't know.
I don't know.
So it's quite an open.
Yes, it
open
is.
Open-minded.
It's an open-minded,
community.
And it's. I don't know if there's another congregation like ours.
In that way.
Yeah.
Okay.
That has that many Catholics who take part in everything but the church service. and
atheists.
Non-atheists or non-believers.
Yes. That's true. That would be quite unusual.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we have a couple of men who live together, gay, and accepted them. So,
you know, this ELCA had this big vote, you know, about a year ago. You heard
about
that?
Yeah, I heard that. Yes.
And some churches, of course, are splitting away from.
Because of that.
The synod, because of that. In fact, our neighboring church has done that.
Specifically because of that question?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
the church that's originally split is leaving again.
And there's one neighboring town up north of here. They have also had a big split because of that.
Mm-hmm. Is that, can you say it's the Holy Danes, the old Lock community,
yes.
The congregation?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the
one
that has.
And they're way,
they're
out beyond that even.
Well, there's a North Lock community and there's a Lock.
Yeah.
See, there's one right here in the village, and then there's one couple miles.
Yeah.
And it was that North Lock one that split.
But that used to be.
That used to be in our church, yeah.
Yeah, and in town, I don't think it's come up too much. There are probably people who have left the church because of it, but they also have members who are
they accept it, but they don't. I heard one member here in the Luck Church said, I will never give another dollar to this church because of that.
Okay. But for your congregation, it's fully.
Our pastor, we have two pastors, husband and wife.
Yeah.
And she was a delegate at the meeting and voted for it.
Yeah. Was that a, she was a delegate of the
of
congregation?
Was she
voting on her own behalf?
No, for the area, for the district.
Okay.
She was a delegate.
Okay.
She wasn't voting for us. She was.
She had that mandate with her to vote this way or what?
It was just, I think that was that her own feeling.
Okay, yeah. I'd imagine.
She's. Okay.
They told me about this issue and the vote that took place last year.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that was when there was the Tyler meeting was taking place.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, was it?
So they told me how excited they were about the result. And when the result came and it was a yes to accept.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
They were very enthusiastic about it. So that says a lot about the Tyler group.
Yeah. And I don't think we were enthusiastic. Most people just accepted it.
It's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine.
That was the mood at Tyler, at least. Yeah. But of course, you're in a group and in a camp. There's a certain mood there.
Yeah.
Well, I'm really glad we're getting around so many of these topics that are difficult to explain, but
yes.
I think you have explained it very well in the way you said that we don't talk convictionism, we live it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we're about having it, aren't we?
Yeah, I think so.
Wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
So unless you have
no
more to
what
add.
Can we make both a museum and
oh.